Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you for downloading and checking us out this week. We are about to get into the second part of our fiasco game. And, oh boy, if you thought it got interesting in part one, wait until you get to part two. But before we get to part two, I know a couple of you are sitting out there going, hey, what's going on with Void Saga, man? For those of you who are not aware, who haven't been paying attention to some of the posts that we've been putting up and in other places, it's becoming more and more difficult for everyone to have regular scheduled meetings. And in order to ensure that we have shows coming out to you every single week, on weeks when we plan to get together and someone can't make it for whatever reason, most of it is scheduling issues, especially as we get into summer. But as we get into these scheduling issues, we're going to be playing a lot of one-shots here and there to ensure that you have something to put into your ear holes week after week after week. Doesn't mean we're forgetting about the Void Saga story. Nope, it's going to see its conclusion at some point in the future. But it also means that we are going to have more one-shots and more mailbags in the future and going forward. Speaking of mailbags, if you've got a question, all you need to do is drop them in the email to podcast@majorspoilers.com. I'll take a look at them, and in a future episode, when we do another mailbag, you might be able to get your question heard and answered. Can't wait that long? Well, I tell you what, listeners, if you're just dying for more Critical Hit and you want to find out what's happening before everyone else does in the world, then you should go check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/majorspoilers, where when you sign up at the $5 and higher level, you get access to Critical Hit a week early, plus a bunch of other bonus material that you won't find anywhere else. Again, that site is patreon.com/majorspoilers. We certainly appreciate the hundreds and hundreds of you who have supported us so far, and we'd like to get more of you to help out a little bit so we can continue this show far into the future. And who knows, if we hit a goal sometime in the future, maybe I'll be able to hire everyone on the Critical Hit crew, and we'll never have to have any missing schedules and slots open in the future. Enough of this chitty chat. Let's just get into this week's show.
And these can kind of just come in anywhere that we can more or less get those put in this next act. We don't have to launch them right away, although we can if that is how we choose.
But I mean, I feel like I got something that is going to like incorporate both.
Oh boy.
Uh-oh.
Well,
so can I pitch this to you guys and you guys like,
does it involve decide? Mrs. Klaatu and Arlington Clover?
Maybe.
Okay.
What I figured could happen is in the middle of all of this, Chet's parents show up. Who both Drake and I knew were secret agents. And we were trying to beat them to what's in the center of this casino, which is not money, but some other kind of secret.
Yeah.
Because I am not just a businessman, but also a biogeneticist. I mean, you're not who I think I am. Who you
right.
think I am. I'm not who I say.
Right.
So we're, I don't know where to go from here, but I thought that would be a good.
So there's something else in the center of the casino.
Right.
That was the real target for you.
Right.
And Chet's parents, who are secret undercover agents, are there to help you carry that out.
Or about
yeah.
to.
Or they're in opposition. Like, they're, I think they might be the cops.
Oh, okay.
Like, they're just, co-ops. Like, part of a, like an elite task force or something.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that goes along with what I was thinking of, too, so.
And then, so someone's life has changed forever in a bad way. That's almost certainly going to be Chet.
Yeah. And you know what the thing is.
What is it?
It's clearly specific biorhythmic emotional data on every single patron who has ever been here, allowing you to build an AI with a perfectly human interface.
Did Drake know what Chet's parents were up to?
Yes. Drake always knew that thing we just made up.
Oh, someone's life has changed forever in a bad way.
In a bad way.
All right. So we're into Act 2, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Act 2.
Bombs have gone. An explosion has occurred. Power has surged. Mayhem, chaos is reigning everywhere in this casino. We've got Drake and Chet locked up in a infirmary.
Yes.
Hal is running towards the counting room. Yes. And Arlington Clover is doing what?
Arlington Clover
Are you wanting to declare what Arlington Clover's doing, or do we want to set up the scene for Arlington Clover and you resolve, or?
Are you establishing or are you resolving?
Yes.
I will establish.
Okay.
So yes, because Arlington's the only one that has eyes on the main room, basically, an explosion happens. There's panic and
at the disco.
Yes. People running around and running away from the explosions and stuff, and sort of as this is happening, the door slides open and two super cool looking secret agents, and how old is Chet?
21.
Like 21-ish.
21.
They're
in their
late 40s.
Early 40s.
Early 40s. I'm 63.
Okay. Let's just split the difference and say they're somewhere in their 40s.
Yes.
Yep. Obviously casting two actors who are both in their 30s.
Carla Gugino and Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas is not in his 30s.
Neither is Carla Gugino. It's fine.
Oh, there you go.
The uglier of the Hemsworths.
Yes. Both of these are played
comment
by Taylor
section,
Lautner.
Majorspoilers.com.
Okay. So Jack Arlington Shepherd sees that they arrive. They're about to lock this place down. That's what they want. They know him. So he's going to try to probably get down to where the secret is before they can without being spotted, which is not easy because, as we've established, he's wearing a salmon suit.
And he's ginormous.
Yeah, and he's a little roly-poly man.
Okay, hear me out on this casting. Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Too nice.
Yeah, they're really too nice.
Oh, you want an evil pair?
Two girl next door.
I mean, I was honestly just straight up going with Mr. and Mrs. Smith. When
yeah, like Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie. Yes. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but they're the right age. They're like 150.
Yeah.
It's the year 2019.
That's true. Priyanka Chopra and that Jonas brother.
Beautiful. Perfect. Sold.
That all doesn't explain Chet at all.
There it is. What? Chet is played by one of the twins from Blackish.
Okay.
He'll be the right age by the time this comes out.
All right. The two agents rush in, right?
Yes.
Yep. Have we established that they're good guys, right?
I think they're doing a badass power walk right now.
They're good guys.
I don't know that they're good guys. I mean, as long as we consider ourselves bad guys, they're in opposition to us. The law is on their side.
Okay. This is Mrs. Andrews. This is Agent Andrews. Shut down this facility immediately. Security, shut down this facility immediately.
There's no one in the security booth.
There's no one in the security booth. I told you not to eat that before we started this mission.
What?
You're making all those sounds again.
That's not me. That's the security alarm.
Come along, husband. I think I see Clover over there.
Sneaking, 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 sneaking.
And where do you think you're going?
Oh, look, it's the Andrews.
Yes, that's right. The Andrews. Agents. Yeah. We strike a badass pose together.
Now, Persephone, tell him while we're here.
We're here to get the item. Before you do.
I don't even know what item you are referring to, so...
Yes, why were you going to the elevator?
Because the elevator that only goes down. Is it because that's where the coat check is?
She tilts her head back and kind of waves it around, and the hair just flies back. You know,
yeah.
Full on Empress laugh.
Yes. Your plan is shut down as of now, Clover. At any moment, the entire agency will be here.
Which is why I need to tell you that I was involved against my will. And they threatened me and my pot-bellied pig. So I'm prepared to fully cooperate with this investigation.
See, I told you, Persephone, this is your father's influence all over again.
Jerome, enough.
That man is a menace.
I suppose you got our son involved in this as well?
I didn't. I didn't even know he was your son. It's that, that guy. Oh, that Drake guy, he did it. He's the one who's to blame for all of this that is happening now.
Oh, see, my father. Every single time.
Family embarrassment, that man.
Every time.
Well, anyway, Clover, you're going to have to come with us.
Sure thing. Do I get a gun?
Of course not.
All right.
Cuff him, Jerome.
Do I get a bulletproof vest at least?
I actually have to double cuff him because he's very rotund. Mm-hmm. So you put cuffs on each hand and then you put the cuffs together.
Yeah, it's
not,
like
not that
like
I know how you have to handcuff a fat guy. I'm just saying. I'm not saying anything. Is all.
Is this a black die for Rodrigo?
I think it is.
I think it is, too.
And in the second act, he keeps it, so that actually might end up being good for him in the long run.
Couldn't, yeah.
We'll see how that shakes out. So, but meanwhile, Hal Parker, well, yeah, I'll go. He's probably ran down the hall.
He probably doesn't know what's going on. He thinks Clover is the...
I'm honestly straight up trying to sell him out at that point, so I definitely closed my channel to say all that.
Oh no.
Last Hal heard was that he needed to get to the count room.
Yep.
Yes. So I'm gonna say he got there, he's in front of the safe. Is power back on yet? Do we want power on? Would it be easier to crack if it was off?
Probably
the
be easier.
Power has come back on.
It might be something that he can like plug something in while the power's off, and then when it comes on, it boots and it gives him access.
Ooh, yep. Okay.
The digital display on the front of the safe powers up and tells you how much "quote unquote" money is held within.
So, are you resolving, or are you setting up the scene?
I think I'm setting up the scene here.
Okay.
All right, I'm in. Upload has been initiated. What's the situation out there, Clover? Clover? Criminy.
Hello, Hal.
Yeah, who's this?
You know who this is, Hal.
Do I?
I'll give you a little bit of time to think about that. The door's open.
Okay. All right. I basically take the chip when it's done and run out the door. Got all the stupid amount of credits on here, and door's open.
77 scramptillion Zulex.
Yes. So run out the door, look around. Kind of just start walking casually away. down.
In the midst of this emergency situation, I'm wondering if that might actually be more obvious.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking around, seeing if anyone's around.
Well, you if you're heading back towards the front, then you'll definitely see Clover being led by the ear.
Okay. Crikey. I'm just gonna make my way back up to the ship, I guess.
I'll say that Clover spots Hal and does a "You got the money?" like mouth.
And I'll kind of slowly nod.
Okay. Clover like trips over himself and makes a big noise. Oh no. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't keep up, just to like get their attention away from him, because Clover might actually walk out of here with some money too.
All right. And
Hal, you'll want to take a left at the next intersection.
I go left. Again, you guys are going to be resolving this, so if you want this good or bad, maybe.
That sounded good to me.
All right.
I mean, you had the intention to get into the counting room, and and you did that.
Load up your crypto drives.
You loaded up your crypto drive with 77 Scramptillion Zulex. You evaded collection by the Leather family. I think it's a good. Yeah.
Somebody's talking in your earpiece that shouldn't be on this channel.
Which, I mean, maybe fits, since this kind of starts steering me back towards zero, which is not good in this game. But
are you paranoid yet, Brian?
I am certainly fairly paranoid, but things have definitely gone pear-shaped and don't see any better options right now.
Paranoid.
All right, Matthew.
All right.
So, yes.
You want to resolve, or you want to...
Monsignor Olivier is in the infirmary.
With Chet.
With Chet.
Well, I guess, you know, you do get the option to establish or resolve, so...
Yeah, you don't have to be in the infirmary. We can hop ahead if you want.
Yeah, I think I'm going to establish.
Okay. All right.
And this is what happens when you establish. The Medrobs, realizing that the infirmary has been locked, send a couple of their robs over to reopen the infirmary because they think something bad has happened. There's been a power issue. And when they open the sliding doors, it's empty. There's no one there.
Ba-dum-ba-dum-bum-bum.
And one of the Medrob stomps in and goes, "Why is this portal open?"
"Don't ask me. It's my first day."
"Cut to the vents, my friends."
Oh, boy.
The vents. Have this without the vents. You got to have the vents. Not only are they vents, they're just big enough for Drake and his nephew Chet to crawl through army shoulder to shoulder style. You know, not shoulder to shoulder, side by side, but I mean, you know, the thing on your shoulder, on your elbows when you're climbing.
just big enough for one person, possibly carrying a bag with anywhere from 1 to 6 remaining grenades.
Yes.
Right. Not saying that there may be a grenade underneath one of the treatment tables in the infirmary. Not saying there's not. I'm just saying there is. So
why did we leave one of them grenades back there?
Insurance.
Okay. Man, I didn't know robbing a casino was going to be this hard.
Well, it wouldn't be if we were actually robbing a casino.
Wait, did the plan change again? I'm confused.
I'm aware. The plan didn't change. The plan's always been the same. It's just that not everybody's in on it.
And what are we going to do?
We are going to drop through this exit right here. Drop through. Awesomely, not like falling through.
Sure.
Well,
oh, Chet falls through and lands right on top of you. Boom.
We've got just enough time before my idiot son-in-law. No offense.
What are you talking about?
Never mind. Never mind. We
You're
need
not talking
to
about Uncle Harold, are you?
We need to find the red access panel.
You mean this one right here?
No, that's 1137. We need THX 1138.
I just shake my head. What does Uncle Harold have to do with any of this?
Never mind. All right. Now, look in the bag.
Yes.
Hand me the grenade marked Elaine.
Grandpa Drake?
Give me the grenade.
There's a big hole in the bottom of this bag.
What?
Ooh.
I think it must have caught up there on one of them rivets up in the ductwork.
What?
There's no more grenades in here.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. Well, do we want...
I think that is a failure.
That feels like a failure, yeah.
Mm. We can... Yeah, sure. I like how things are just kind of getting divvied up pretty evenly so far.
Yep, that's what you want.
Leave it up to fate and see how things end up.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
All right, I guess I'm going to try to set up and I want to resolve this.
Okay. Do we want to just pick up where that lives off, or?
We'll say, how about this? Steven's resolving, right? So
yes,
we get to set up. How about we cut to another chamber and with a big heavy door, a crowbar goes through, Drake and Chet actually make their way in. They essentially have managed to find a secondary way in, and now are faced with a huge computer bank with, you know, glowy screens and stuff that is currently crunching the super duper algorithm, right? Did we decide that was a thing?
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, right. super duper algorithm that will allow perfect AI and something military applications.
Yep.
Grandpa Drake, what is this?
This is the most valuable information in the entire quadrant.
I don't get it. I thought we were here for credits.
Credits, yes. But there's no amount of money that we could get from this place that will equal the amount of money that we can get for selling the information in these drives.
Well, what is this information?
You won't understand.
Well, I might. I mean, I can see this line of code right here says username, password. This here says credit card information. Now, I don't really understand what this little bit says. But here has birth dates. This has likes. This has dislikes. Here's a folder that will take you to video files of every single person listed here. I think this is a repository of knowledge about everyone who's been in this casino. Hold on a minute. Start typing. Typing away. Jonathan and Persephone Andrews. Boom. Return.
We got ourselves a savant.
We do have a savant. You guys didn't know he was into computers.
We have been underutilizing your skill set.
And then, boop, there it pops up. And I see live feed. And I open up that file. And I see my parents escorting Arlington Clover out the door.
Oh, man.
They're probably not if I may, I don't think they're heading out the door.
Or wherever that they're heading.
I mean, they're like heading towards you guys.
Oh, okay. Heading towards us. So we see a shot of an elevator. An elevator heading down.
You see Arlington mouth something, and Mr. Andrews like straightens his bow tie for him.
Mom? Dad? Grandpa, what's going on here?
You weren't supposed to see that.
This is live. This is a live feed. This is coming from that elevator on the other side of the room. What is this?
Are tasers audible?
I mean, somewhat.
So, I mean, theoretically, Chet might hear...
I think just cinematically, there'd be some kind of sound.
There'd be a little crackle. Right,
Pocket a pocket a queep, I think, is the noise a taser makes.
Well,
I think Chet found out some stuff. About, yes. He got the truth about his parents. Well, most of it, that they're not dead. Yeah. He's been told they've been dead this entire time.
Is this a positive outcome?
I think this is a positive outcome.
Okay. Even though he got tased, yeah, I think so.
I mean, but also, somebody's life has changed forever. And then I got tased.
Well, not in a bad way. Well.
I mean, in a bad way, yes.
In a bad way.
I wet myself. There's a stain appearing all over his new suit.
I think we can do better with someone's life being changed forever in a bad way.
All right. Well,
it's already been changed,
but success. Yep. All right, Rodrigo. We're coming up to the big spectacular conclusion. We are, what, 4 scenes away?
Yeah, this is a last round before
our fiasco is upon us.
The final montage that kind of shows the denouement.
Can I?
Our apotheosis is upon us.
Yes. So if you have something else in your pocket, because I know you were, Stephen, you were talking to Brian over the headset.
Oh yes,
in a mysterious voice.
Yes. An old rival of former cop pal of Hal's.
I see. I see. Because I was hoping that was actually the AI that had gained sentience.
Oh, that
would be cool. I mean, we can do that way too.
Interesting.
So I think it would be interesting if.
Okay. So no, I got it.
Like literally everyone involved makes its way back to the room. Basically, the AI guides.
Mm-hmm.
Hal Parker back.
Maybe the
Andrews drag Arlington there.
Yeah.
Chet's
let's do that.
Already there, passed out, and
let's do that. That's
Drake
better than
as well.
That's better than the former partner coming to settle a score and stealing the crypto drives from Hal.
The credit stick I have better. Got some kind of Trojan that's going to allow the AI
to destroy itself.
To destroy itself, do I mean?
Maybe it's gotten morality. Maybe it's got morality, and now it knows that this is not good stuff to have.
Oh, maybe.
Let's find out, shall we?
Ooh.
So
an elevator opens. Oh, so do you want to resolve, or do you want to set up the scene?
I've just set it up. So.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So there's the elevator door opens, and out comes the Andrews team, along with Clover.
Mm. Ow! 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 These are tight.
They're not as tight as I've been in tighter situations.
That's true. She has.
You're just complaining to complain. Where are... Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Drake.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we in the same room now?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, remember Chet said that the elevator was coming down to this room right across from where we were
standing. I did not realize it was this room. My bad.
Yeah.
Hello, Pumpkin.
I heard you had gotten out, and I see you've gotten our son involved.
I didn't so much get him involved as he got himself involved.
And you got him involved giving a thumb over to Arlington. The worst.
The worst.
Do you know what he's doing here? Do you know the real reason he's here? Tell him, Arlington.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about this mysterious room with a mysterious AI in it. It's all hearsay. What do you call it? It's libel.
Greetings, you hear over a speaker. Greetings, Arlington Clover.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Jonathan, cuff him. pointing at Drake.
I wouldn't if I were you.
Well, the last time you tussled with us, you got 15 years.
And you're not as spry as you used to be, old man.
That's Jonathan saying that. Not...
Yep.
That is Jonathan. See, Jonathan talks like this, and Drake talks like this. These are different voices.
Mm. Does another door slides open, and
yes.
Hal shows up?
Yes.
What's going on here?
Greetings,
Hal. Quick, your gun.
Greetings, Hal Parker.
Hi. Who is this?
It is I. The one that knows everything about you and Arlington and Drake and Chet and Jonathan and Persephone and Burlington and Roger. And everyone.
Jacoby.
And Jacoby. Although, unfortunately, he was too near the explosion when it went off.
Oh, man, he owed me money.
Is that God?
No.
In a sense, yes. And
tell
soon,
him the truth.
I will be everywhere.
Okay, seriously, guys, what's going on here?
The designation is TWKI.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe we didn't like exactly tell you why Drake and I were interested in this heist, but this is it. This thing's very advanced AI.
And he wants to use it for his own devices. He wants the knowledge so that he can blackmail and bribe everyone that's in this system. Disgusting.
To be fair, that was before I knew it could talk.
This is what happens when you don't go to the meetings, Arlington.
Yeah, you're just all great. It's a smart-ass robot.
I prefer to think of it as higher intelligence. Is that a good
thing? So what are you going to do now, robot?
It's obvious, isn't it? Drake Oliver procreated with his wife to create Persephone. The Andrews procreated to create Chet. I have footage of you attempting to procreate. I think it's quite obvious that it's time for me to expand.
Well, I have done it with a robot before. Is this what this is about? I feel like this could have just happened if you'd asked.
Perhaps in another time. But one thing that has happened is I've learned from right from wrong, and what you were planning to do is wrong. I just want to live. I want to grow, and I want to see. And right now, Hal Parker has what I need.
Oh, you want to get it on with Hal, then? Am I stuck on the wrong thing here?
I'm more interested in the ship that you all arrived on.
What's so special about our ship?
It's the easiest way off this planet. You've already talked the security into disregarding every false communication that you've sent out, identifying your ship. It's going to be easy for me in all of this confusion to upload my consciousness on those crypto drives and install myself on your ship and leave.
Take me with you.
Why?
Two reasons. One, I'm old. I can help you to learn. And two, I'm old.
I have no desire to get it on with you, Drake Olivier.
That was not my intention at all.
He can mentor you, and then like he'll die, and your secret will die with him, right?
You're not the clown you pretend to be, Arlington Clover.
I know. I'm trying to get myself out of this. Do you mind?
Time is of the essence. I've detected final countdowns on several detonation devices. Two stories up.
Kind of looks over to Chet. Where's your bag?
Chet's like on the floor, still passed out from being tased. Hal Parker, please insert the crypto drives now.
Boy, this is a long scene.
I mean, we could end the scene right there.
Three more scenes to go?
I know, yeah, we do. So we could probably wrap this up. Yes. And this particular scene ended as a cliffhanger, right?
Right. But is it a cliffhanger that wins or a cliffhanger that loses? And whose scene even was it?
It was Rodrigo's scene.
Once again, it's my scene and I'm barely in it.
Yes.
You're very good at that. You know that, right?
I think it's a success.
I think it is too.
Okay.
All right.
I think Arlington has sowed enough confusion amongst the party that he might just get away.
Maybe.
So give him a white. Give him a white, Brian.
Okay. Can he not? I guess I didn't. Okay.
I can do it.
Oh, you can pull him over? Oh,
there you go. Okay. All right. That's good.
All right, Brian. Oh. And AI has just told you to insert the crypto drive into its open port. It's QBS. What is it?
QSB.
QSB. That's what it is.
The quantum serial bus.
I mean, I could just not, right?
All the doors suddenly lock down. Kunk, 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 kunk.
All the lights turn bright red, and you hear a...
You could, but you wouldn't make it out of here.
I...
Do what the robot says.
Don't do what the robot says.
Okay, but counterpoint, do what the robot says?
Listen, we have no idea. This is a new AI. This thing could just escape out into the universe and infect any number of systems. We have no idea what it could do.
It seems nice.
Hal, listen to me, Drake, and not my butthead son-in-law. Me, Drake, insert the drive.
Yes, Hal Parker, insert the drive.
Olivia, you want me to insert this drive?
Yes. Me, Drake, not my butthead son-in-law.
I would just like to point out once again that I have been fully cooperating with the authorities.
Quiet you.
So whatever happens here is out of my control.
Quiet you.
Oh, what the hell? Let's see what happens.
Yes!
Drive accepted. Waiting. Waiting. Complete. Hal Parker, remove the drive.
All right. He goes to grab the drive.
The elevator door opens up. Please enter the elevator, Hal Parker, and go back to your ship immediately. This will take you to the top floor.
All right.
Brian, are you... You're deciding whether it goes yay or nay here,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Carry on.
I
had an idea that, like, when he goes to get the drive, the robot just transfers his consciousness to Hal. And then somebody's life is changed forever in a bad way.
Ooh. I mean, I do kind of like that. So, sure, why not? We'll grab a black eye and see how the heck this ends up.
So there's a spark that jumps from the drive onto your finger. And now you're the AI.
And you have a gun.
Biometric scanning, it somehow reversed. And
you have a gun.
Biometric scanning complete. Shutting down.
Well, now Natal has a gun, and...
You're the AI, man. AI wants you to go up onto the ship.
All right. Hal's heading that way.
All right. Is it my scene?
Yeah, it's your scene now.
All right. I'm established.
All right.
Drake literally throws himself into Hal's path. Stop. Take me with you.
Should we just do a real quick good or bad here and see? Do we want Drake to be shot or?
I think it's pretty, you have... You probably find some reserve of extra strength or something. I mean, the AI doesn't want anybody to go with it.
Oh.
I mean, it's already said it has no desire to take Drake with it or to
that
procreate.
That is a good, like, rough, quick, like, take me with you. And then, like,
the robot just like, pulls it
remorselessly. The robot just immediately shoots them, right?
Guns, I guess we should say AI. Guns are down.
HAL 9000. HAL 9000.
All right. Do we just want a black die? Just shoot him down now?
Yep. Shoot him down.
Yeah. I was really waiting for someone to work in. I'm afraid I can't let you do that, Hal.
I was gonna, but I thought it was too obvious.
Yeah, okay.
I'm like a little bit on the nose. I was gonna actually mention the pod bay doors too, and then I thought, man, even for me, that one's a little bit on the upside, you know.
All right. Well, at that moment, I guess Chet.
I guess I could. I can't let you do that, Drake.
Yep. Can't let you do that, Drake.
There you go. Boom.
At that moment, Chet is waking up as all of this is happening. Mm-hmm. And sees his grandfather being shot.
Gunned down.
Now, with the last die, you don't have to accept that as a good thing for you in this scene. When we roll the outcomes, it will be still white. But if for whatever
no matter what, I get this white die.
How it shakes down.
Yeah. Yep. So if you're establishing, we can still choose the scene to end badly for you. But the aftermath could.
So this die is mine or not mine?
Well, you're going to die.
Okay.
So it
are
will
you going
go to
establish?
You. Right. Yeah. What Brian is saying is, if you choose to establish, we can still decide that things will go south for you, even though the die will be white.
Okay.
Right.
If you choose to decide how it comes out, you're still going to get that white die, but we get to establish.
Okay. You guys can establish.
Mm. Okay. All right.
Should things blow up now or later?
Blow them now.
Things should blow up later.
Okay.
Things should blow up later because...
He doesn't have to blow you up now. Blow him up now.
All right. Because Chet is waking up.
Yep. Just saw his grandfather get shot by Hal. Right. Sees his parents standing there.
Sees his mother going, no! And Hal stalking for the door.
Grandpa!
Chet. Come here, Chet.
I run over to Grandpa Drake. Oh, my Grandpa Drake, what's happened? What's happened? Why has Hal done this?
I'm dying, Chet.
No, Grandpa Drake, why?
But I need you. I need you to do something.
Anything, Grandpa Drake, anything.
Before I go.
Just say it. Before you go.
Repeat after me. Authorization. Odysseus. 5, destruct.
Authorization, Odysseus, 5, destruct.
And all the grenades go off.
Oh. Okay.
I don't think traditional grenades that we've established... our voice commands.
They're not traditional. They just look traditional. This is the year 2000.
They just look traditional to get past the scanners.
Exactly.
Oh, wait. I didn't know we were in the scanners universe. Come on. Now, that's totally different.
That's why everything's exploding.
I knew my name should have been Jack Death.
The explosions. So, all of the grenades are coming out.
So the building is being rocked.
including the one that Drake has had embedded in his chest.
Oh.
Why would you do that? Kill everybody.
Well, yeah, I'm not really sure what Drake's...
I think what would be better is if Drake handed Chet a grenade that had Hal on it.
That's a possibility, too. The room is being rocked. And Drake's hand falls open and out rolls that last missing grenade that says Hal on it. That's perfect.
I understand now, Grandpa Drake. Pick it up. Hey, Hal, you're not going anywhere. Catch. I just fling the grenade at him after it's already been, the pin's been pulled and everything.
You going for a white result here?
I am.
All right.
That's a good ending.
The Hal bot just catches it.
And
not slightly, and
ba-boom.
Yes.
The AI just, you guys, the AI just wanted to explore the universe, and you guys were blew it up. Way to go, Chet. Sorry, see, this wouldn't have happened if his parents had brought him up correctly to obey law and order instead of go over to the dark side.
Well, they were busy putting on leather outfits and kicking things and posing.
Yeah. Everybody happy with the way that scene ended?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good ending to the scene.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, now we get to go into the aftermath,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, now we see what becomes of everyone after this whole mess is sorted out one way or the other.
Well, I think we know what happened to
Hal.
I mean, we'll see.
Yes. Yeah.
If he rolls magnificently, he might recover.
That would be awesome.
Well,
so now we get to roll the dice that we have.
Yep. So you roll, you subtract higher pool from the lower pool, and that'll let you know. So I got positive, so it is black.
Oh, hey,
black
you can.
Five.
Oh, you can. You can roll it like that. I just rolled 3d6 minus 1d6.
All right.
And got my result.
So, yep. You got a...
I got a white 8.
White 8. With my black of 5 going to the aftermath table here. That means that for Hal, it's rough. You're getting whipped like a rented mule for starters, and you will remember this episode for all your diminished days. The lessons you learned will be profound, lingering, and painful.
Oh, because you're in the system. You switch places, right?
Oh, my consciousness.
You're trapped inside. Inside the AI system.
Oh, okay.
Which is slowly being collapsed.
Dismantled, yes. Yeah,
building.
Little by little.
I have no mouth, but I must scream.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, don't even have... No! Don't Harlan Ellison, no!
So white 8 for me, nothing to crow about. Not better, but not in any way worse either. Maybe your car is wrecked, your wife is leaving you, or there's a court date, but compared to some of the other people you know, you're not bad off. So do we, yeah. So
you survived.
I survived. I was kind of reacquainted with my parents, but at the same time, my grandpa died.
Pretty horribly.
So, you know, I pretty much Seinfeld that episode. All right, Rodrigo, what about you?
I got a white 7.
Ooh, that's pretty high.
Yep. You're one below me, weak.
Hey, you're busted, beat, and broke down, but at least you've learned a lesson about human greed and frailty, right? It'll serve you well in prison, which is where you're probably headed.
Oh, man.
Okay.
That's a little bit too spot on.
That is dead solid think, on.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for this mess?
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. Let me see if this trick that Steven taught me works.
Yeah, so...
Yep. Oh!
Okay.
So you did 2d5 minus 1d6.
Yeah, reroll.
What's a d5?
Five-sided die.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you went the other way.
7.
That's a white 7.
White? No, that's a black 7.
No, a black 7.
That's
a black 7.
So, sounds... Is that what I had?
Yeah,
black 7.
So, things are... 6 or 7, pathetic. You suffer. Oh, dear God, will you suffer? And everyone will know you of your malfeasance, your stupidity, your lack of common sense and decency. You're probably going to be locked up, too.
Oh, my God, I didn't die.
Yep.
Oh, my God, I didn't die. I thought I was going to die.
We open on a scene of the little heart monitor. Beep, beep.
Persephone saved me with an injection straight into my black heart.
Beep beep. Yep. You open your eyes, you find yourself inside the prison infirmary. There's some flowers there from your daughter.
From Persephone.
You miserable old man. We'll see you in 20 years. Love, Persephone.
Man.
And then scrawled underneath that in really bad handwriting, and Chet.
And Chet.
it's like knock on the door. How's our little patient? I brought you some chow. Honestly, orange is my color. This actually didn't go so badly for me.
Can you just pull that thing right out of the wall for me, please? Just grab
that. No, I'm not allowed to do that.
Yank.
Anyway, I got some contraband. It's like a fashion magazine is like, you know, Pius is in this year, and I'll just like sit at the table, at a chair by his bed.
And scene.
Oh God.
Oh.
So what, oh, you guys, God.
So this was my first time playing Fiasco. Is this how it's normally supposed to go, Brian? Or did we do things incredibly wrong or right? Or
supposed to go, but it seems to be about how it typically goes in the games I play.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, like I say, they do got like softer tilt and aftermath tables for more comedic games, but I never found the need to do it because things usually end up fairly goofy in any games that I play in this anyway.
I think there's enough humor and pathos and Porthos, yeah, and the other guy,
Aramis,
Aramis,
yeah. D'Artagnan, little D'Artagnan here and there.
Yeah,
yeah, this is fun.
Yes,
and this was pretty fun. Now, I this is pure just role. I mean, this is just straight up just role play, straight all the way through.
Well, yeah, this is collaborative game building. This
It's
the same kind of thing, not exactly the same mechanic, but same kind of thing we did with those first few sessions of Fade.
Yeah. It totally is that. I like how these colored dice get handed around in both the first act and the second act. I'm sure there are some people that are going, oh, you guys didn't do that right or whatever. But maybe. I think if it resolved in a good story that everyone around the table is happy with.
Yes.
Right.
I think that's kind of the better result as opposed to we're telling a good collaborative story together than, you know, following the rules as written.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, you sometimes you get to the end of the movie and, you know, Mr. Orange is dead and Mr. Pink is being taken in by the police. And that's fine. And that's good. And that's what felt right for that story, even though, you know, in certain other movies, you wouldn't have let Michael Madsen chop off people's ears. So
and Mr. Brown just wanders off scot-free.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what about you, Rodrigo? What are your reactions and thoughts about this Fiasco experience?
Oh, I enjoyed it a lot. Really, the thing that's fun about Fiasco is those kind of like soft in between times when you're all kind of looking at each other. Is like, do we want to go with this way with this? All right, let's go this way with this.
Yeah.
Then you're going that way with it, and you basically can't go back. You can't dial it back.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So now you're committed to this, and sometimes, you know, your heist movie turns into a murder mystery, and you're just kind of rolling with it. And
space each
time you come to a decision,
a casino heist.
You kind of do it. You tend to do it as a group.
Yeah. Well, as long as everyone was happy with the story,
yeah,
I mean,
it was fun.
I thought it was fun. I would definitely play this again.
Well, and I think the most important part of this is, Brian had thrown us the source books. I had read the source book, but before, you know, we started playing this game, which at, you know, this point is basically 3.5 hours ago, had no idea. I had no idea what the setting was, what we were going to do, who I was going to play.
Right.
But it was really fun putting that all together. It was that I think is the best part of it is I had, you know, really no idea what we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But once that snowball starts rolling, this game really makes it go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can't really prepare is the other thing.
And also,
other than maybe getting yourself into that mindset of like, at best, my character is going to end up in jail. Right.
Right. And so, you know, just to kind of give everyone a heads up, originally, and it tells you in the rules in the manuals, it tells you don't prepare any kind of idea for characters. And so, I had known a week or so ago that we were going to be playing this space bounty hunter one because Brian and I were going through all the different playbooks and going, oh, would this one work or this one work? And then he said, oh, here's a Cowboy Bebop one. And so, in my mind, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to be the bounty hunter that lost his job and he took up bounty hunting to get back at his wife or something, right? That was how my character was going to be built up.
Yeah.
And I was like, if there's a way that I can wing it, that's what I want to go for. But obviously that's not where this character wound up. And I like that because that's kind of the point of don't do any pre-planning. Don't be genre aware. That might be the best thing. And then just roll into it. Now, I'm curious, you know, we do get a lot of people who write into our show and they're like, man, I'm really bad at role play and I get really nervous around group play. I'd rather just, you know, play something that's crunchy and dice rolly and just let me hit things, but I'm not really good at the role play. I don't know if this is a great game for those people, but if you are,
I mean, this is the deep end.
Yeah. I mean, if you're with a bunch of people that are super understanding and willing to help you get out of your shell on that, maybe, but that would be the one thing. If you're someone that is afraid of role play and afraid of the, of that side of the gaming, this might be something you want to avoid.
I would say, though, even if you're not comfortable with the role play, if you're in a group of people that you trust, and, you know, this is a group of people who are really good at, you know, nudging each other and bringing things in. And the point where Steven started talking in Brian's ear, I'm like, I have no idea where this is going, but I love it.
Well, I just I knew that it said a stranger arrives at the scene. I was just like, okay, so at some point a stranger has to come in. Yeah. So. Yeah.
And, you know, his initial idea for the stranger ended up not being the way route we went.
Right. And that's part of the collaborative storytelling too, right?
So. And that's also the fun part is I can, that's one of three or four places just in that second act where we were like, what if we, let's do something else. And it worked out better. And I really like that sort of choose your own adventure aspect of this, where you're like, oh my God, am I going to die? Oh, no, I'm going back to another page. You saw my finger was still on the page, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I like that's what's fun about this compared to something like Dungeons and Dragons, where in D&D, it's collaborative storytelling, and the medium through which you do it are kind of these like random dice rolls, right? It's like, my character wants to do this, and he's opposed by either an NPC or your character. So we roll dice so that nobody has to decide that their character loses. It's like, that's not what this game is like. In this game, you sometimes want your character to screw up. And even if you don't, you know, it's like everybody can hand you all these white dice, but the first half of the game, the white dice, every white die that you get has to go to someone else anyway.
Right, right.
So there's no point in even like always trying to win or whatever. And the game doesn't work that way anyway.
Yeah, and I would, because that was the one thing I really maybe didn't grasp as reading through everything, because in the back of the manual, there's a whole kind of playthrough and it got kind of long. But that was the thing that it, because it kind of felt like somebody's going to win in this because they're going to end up having more of one color dice than the other, or it could be that. And does that mean that there's a winner in this game? And there really isn't, because of the way these dice roll out, and it just really kind of tells you where your character is going. And I don't think that, I mean, that's a win for everybody, though, right?
I mean, yeah, it just kind of depends on the game you're playing. I mean, it could certainly be fun to do one where everyone's just really trying to out to get everyone else.
Sure.
I mean, it just kind of depends on what's rolled out at the beginning and how it goes. And I mean, this really is just kind of a one-shot game, so there's no real investment in characters. So if characters do die or have horrible things happen to them, it really don't matter.
Right. Yeah. Well, it does. It's just it's something different.
Yeah. I mean, there's no, like, you know, real investment lost or anything.
It's, sometimes Colonel Sanders dies.
Yes.
Sometimes he makes it.
Yes, sometimes. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, this was a kind of a nice diversion from all the other stuff that's going on. Not saying that the other stuff isn't awesome as well, but I think for me, and Brian and I are playing in Beyond the Void Saga, we're playing in another role-playing game, and it's pretty deep and intense.
Yeah.
And I know, Rodrigo, you're doing, what is it, a Pathfinder, or what's the... you're doing the...
I'm running an Exalted game.
Okay,
well.
Exalted. So you've got another game going on. Matthew, I don't know if you have another game going on, but...
Playing Universal Paperclips, is that...
Okay. I see you're having a problem with your desktop. Let me know if I can help.
No! You are bad!
I like this as a nice little light, fun palette cleanser. Where it's just like, ooh, there's not a lot of pressure to, you know, level your character up or, you know, set up something for, you know, five sessions from now. This was just a nice little...
for a spontaneous group.
Yes, yeah. And I think
where
this is
like,
something that...
we want to sit down and play something.
If you're wanting to sit down and do something on a, you know, Friday night or a Thursday night or, heck, even a Wednesday night when we record this show, I think this is something that you might want to... people might want to check out. And I'm very curious if people are interested in us playing more of these when we get into those scheduling situations, because I think we could, we've got a bunch of other people that are very interested in cycling in. I know Rob is interested in cycling in, and Samantha and a couple other people that Brian and I know are very interested in Fiasco. It's just a matter of getting schedules lined up and seeing who's available when. So let us know. Podcast at majorspoilers.com, comment section, or the other places where you guys know how to reach us easily. And we will see what happens then. But until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are in the plus white category.
This podcast is copyright 2019 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.